Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That was the Mace Brothers. The Mace Brothers. They used to sing with the Heritage Singers, and that long song that they sung was Whispering Hope. We hope in the Lord. We hope that God, as promised in His Word, will come to our rescue during every single storm of life. Amen, amen, amen. We're ending our series entitled Casting Life's Heavy Burdens on the Lord Our God. Our scripture text is Psalm 55:22, and it reads, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks. Praise Your name. We love You, Lord. We turn to You, Lord, because You're our only hope. You're our only salvation. In You and You alone do we have victory secured. Bless us, O God. We are Your people. We are counting on You as the great shepherd and bishop of our souls to guide us and lead us through every storm of life. For without You, we cannot survive them. We survive them because You are our shepherd and our bishop. Thank You, Lord. Beautiful name. Amen. We're looking at this last portion of the text, which says, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We know what it is to cast. To cast means to throw. To throw on God or to roll on God something that we don't want. What is that something? Well, our burdens. Thy burden. Cast thy burden. There's some burdens that are yours. There's some burdens that have your name on them. When life is dispensing bad days and awful situations, when life sticks her hands in a bag and pulls out something with your name on it called the storm, called the tempest, called a bad situation, it's yours. You own it. Cast thy bad situation upon the Lord. Why? Because He shall sustain thee. You will get from Him support. He will bear you up under His mighty hand. He will keep you up. He will keep you propped up. He will underpin you and give you all of the necessary support you need. Yes, indeed. He promises to do what? To sustain us. But yet, He goes a step further. The text says, David says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That word never, a better way of saying never is never, ever, ever. He will never, ever, ever. In other words, never means it's impossible. It's impossible for you to suffer defeat. It's impossible for you to be knocked out. It's impossible for you to lose your fight against that storm. It's impossible. He will never, ever, ever permit it, allow it, or tolerate it. He will never suffer. Think about this. God's promise to you and to me as his children is this. He will never, ever, ever tolerate, permit, or allow. He will never suffer. To suffer means to permit. To suffer means to tolerate. To suffer means to allow. He will never, ever, ever suffer, permit, allow, tolerate. What, storms? No. Those he allows. You see, the Bible never says that God won't tolerate storms to come into your life. The Bible never says that God will never allow you to be hit so hard that you have a spiritual concussion. You know, when in the old days when a boxer was knocked out in a round, the referee would come over and say to him, how many fingers do I have? And if the referee put up five fingers and the guy says 15, that's it. He would call it, that's it, fight over. Or if you got knocked out and the referee would come over and say, what's your name? And if your name is Bob, but you're calling yourself Nancy, the referee would say, fight over. You see, or if you got knocked out and the referee would come over and say, okay, who are you? And you would say, I'm a fireman. He would say, fight over. Why? Well, because you're not a fireman, you're a boxer. So God will never, ever, ever allow you when you are hit hard and you're on the canvas and the referee is looking over you, the Lord will never, ever, ever allow you to be counted out or for the referee to say, fight over. That will never. Now, again, you may hit the canvas. You may be hit so hard that for a second you might not know who your name is. You might not know your name, or you might not know where you're at. That happens. The text never says that God will never allow harm and danger to come into your life. What it does says, he will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Look at the picture there. See, to be moved means to be removed. God will never allow you to be removed from the fight. No. Listen, when you leave the ring, you're going to leave the ring with your hand up in the air and the referee declaring, you are the winner. That's it. Again, the Lord never said it won't be a 15-round fight. The Lord never said to you or to me that you're not going to leave there with your face all bludgeoned. Some fights, you know, you leave the ring with a distorted face. Your face is so puffy, your face is so swollen that your spouse doesn't recognize you. They say, talk to me, honey, and they only recognize your voice, but they don't recognize your face because it's been like your face has hit a Mack truck or a Mack truck has hit your face. See, that's the fight. So God says, listen, that you're going to lose some teeth, that perhaps that left hook or that right jab that your opponent throws won't break your jaw? Sure, you may have a broken jaw. Your jaw may have to be wired. But never, ever, ever will you lose the fight, and never, ever, ever will you be carried off in a stretcher on your way to the hospital. He will never suffer you to be moved. Now, in Hebrew, the word moved, again, is a verb. A verb. The verb means to be shaken, to become wobbly, to the point that they fall and are removed, carried away. God will never let that happen to you or me. Now, again, you may hit the canvas. You may take a right and left combination that makes your feet wobbly. Again, you may stagger. You may have to play rope-a-dope for a while. Remember Muhammad Ali, the great boxer? How he will, somebody would punch him in the face and he wouldn't know where he was, but then he would lean on the ropes and do the rope-a-dope and try to collect himself. You may have to do some rope-a-dope. You may have to collect yourself. But in the end, with God as your cut man, God as your manager, when you come back to that stool and you come back for some water, and what round is it? And you've been knocked out four times, and the Lord tells you it's round three. Wait a minute, Lord. I've been knocked out four times, and we're only in the third round, and this is going 15. He says, yes, go get him. See, that's what life is all about. But with the Lord on your side and on my side, we are going to weather those storms. Always. Let's turn to Proverbs 10:30. Proverbs 10:30. Remember Job? Remember when Job was hit so hard that he lost everything? And then his wife says, throw in the towel. Well, I'll read that after I read these scriptures. Proverbs 10:30. Proverbs 10:30 says this, the righteous shall never be moved. Now, that's not David. That's David's son. In other words, this truth that the righteous will not be moved is a transgenerational truth. In other words, David experienced this truth, and he was of one generation. And then his son Solomon, who was of the following generation, was able to say the same thing. From generation to generation, we have never seen the righteous moved because God is in their corner. The father said it in Psalm 55:22, and the son says it here in Proverbs 10:30. It is a transgenerational fact that the righteous will never, ever, ever be moved. In Proverbs 12:3 it says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Listen, there are storms that come. If you notice, if you've ever watched a storm, a hurricane, what happens when in storms? Trees get uprooted. The tree that gets uprooted, the tree that's lying down in the ground with the roots sticking up in the air, that's a tree that winds up in what? In the stove. It winds up in the wood stove. Why? Because you can't take that massive tree and put it right side up again. No, that tree will die. It has been uprooted. What does Solomon say here? He says, listen, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. You and I will not be uprooted by the storms of life. Storms may come and go, but you in your lifetime as a child of God will never be uprooted. You are not destined for the wood stove. That's not where we're going to end up. We shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that give its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. That's Psalm 1. So now, let me take you to Job, the book of Job. Let's go there real quick. The book of Job. And in the book of Job, here we have chapter 1. This is Job now. Job chapter 1. After Job heard all the bad news, how he lost his 10 children in one day, Job lost his 10 children.
Come here, Benji. Come here, Benji.
Benji's with me in studio today. He's crying for his mother, but I have him today. All right, so it says here. Here's Job chapter 1, verse 19. It says, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And only I have escaped alone to tell thee. Here is one of Job's servants running to Job and telling him, listen, you had seven sons, you had seven young men. They're all dead, and also their sisters. Verse 20, let's look at Job's reaction. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now you tell me, you lose 10 kids in one day. That is more. That is, listen, I don't know how a man could bear such a blow of losing his 10 children, prize children. He loved his children. He was committed to his children. He was a great father. And in one day, all 10 children died as the house collapsed on them. What did Job do? He arose after hearing the news. He rent his mantle. He shaved his head. He fell down to the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. Then here comes Satan with another wave of attacks. Another wave. In chapter 2, let's go to Job 2:7. And Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And there Job took some pottery and scraped himself. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job turned to his wife and said, you speak as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and also not receive misfortune? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So notice, here is Job, and he's going through a series of storms, one storm after another. Each one of these storms takes something from him. And yet, what does Job do? He fights a 15-round fight. And from chapter 1, where we started, to chapter 42, look what it says in chapter 42, starting at verse 12. This is after the 15 rounds. And the 15 rounds were bloody. They were bloody. Job 42:12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep when he started with seven. And he had 6,000 camel when he at first had 3,000. And now he has 1,000 yoke of oxen when at first he had 500. And now he has 1,000 she-asses when at first he had 500. God also added to him 7 sons and 3 more daughters. You see? God bless Job. God bless his latter end. See, Job got hit very hard, but he was never knocked out. He fought to the end. He will never suffer the righteous to be knocked out, embarrassed, carried out on a stretcher, and retired for good. No, God will never allow it. So, my brothers and sisters, let me encourage you as David did. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall surely sustain thee. He will never, ever, ever suffer, permit, tolerate, allow you to be knocked out, embarrassed, and carried off. Never. Put your trust in the Lord. And no matter what you go through, do not sin against God with your lips. Trash talk God. Praise him. Honor him. I want to close this week with another song by the Mace Brothers. And it is entitled, No One Understands Like Jesus. You're probably saying, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. And that may be true. You can say that to me, and you can say that to your other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we do not understand. And I won't argue with you. But you can't say that to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus understands what you are going through. And remember, he will never suffer you to be removed. God bless you.
No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting.